Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Did you say Hairmaster?
No, you dimwit. Airmaster.
Caremaster?
No, Airmaster.
Daremaster?
Clean your ears out. I said Airmaster.
Stairmaster?
Oops, don't try that one. It's probably trademarked by someone else. Airmaster.
Ha ha, got you on that one. I said Stairmaster. S-T-A-R-E, Master. Tearmaster?
I'm going to tear you. Airmaster!
Oh, I get it. Airmaster.
Yes, Airmaster.
But what do they do?
Airmaster Aerator, the patented aerator that makes a difference. More than an aerator, a complete waste treatment system. Airmaster Aerator.
This column was written by Jim Thompson. I'm Chuck Swan reading it for Jim. The title of this column is A Question. Up and at 'em, or just sitting? And here's what Jim has to say. Recently, I have seen a number of cases in which human energy was not being expended to any appreciable extent. Actually, I was witnessing laziness. I have not discussed this topic in a long time, so perhaps it is time once again to bring it up. It is a topic that tends to offend some folks, for people do not like to be singled out as lazy or not energetic. To assuage the embarrassment of the truly guilty, let me say we are all struck by this at one time or another. And we must admit that we know some people who are in a permanent rut of inactivity. So, who to blame? What to do if we want a large and wide-ranging place to plant the guilt other than ourselves? Perhaps we should blame the Industrial Revolution. In the developed countries, most of us have sedentary workplaces. Even the farmers are now riding tractors with air-conditioned cabs, full entertainment systems, and onboard wireless computers. As an aside, the Minneapolis Moline Company tried to sell a tractor in the late 1930s and early 1940s with a full cab and heat. It was a flop because farmers did not think it manly to ride in such comfort.
And now let's pause a moment for this message.
Companies all over North America think of Fulton Systems for their thermocompressor and steam systems needs, all the way from initial design to startup to troubleshooting. For more than 90 years, Fulton Systems has helped companies keep thousands of thermocompressors operating smoothly and assisted mills with hundreds of paper machine rebuilds. Turn to Fulton Systems for steam and condensate system design, dryer suction performance audits, and consulting services on all aspects of dryer suction and condensate systems management and operations. Call us at 770-447-1400. Visit our website at fultonsystems.com.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the conclusion of this week's column.
The sedentary workplace has made us generally lethargic, not only physically, but mentally as well. Quick now, how often do you experience a slight drift toward laziness as you look for a file on your computer by moving the mouse around? Intellectually, this is silly, of course, but unless you are much different from me, you have had this experience more than once. After all, how many calories does it take to move a mouse 10 centimeters? Taking things a step further, how many pieces of paper have been on your desk for over 3 months and truly just been shuffled around? When was the last time you thoroughly cleaned out every desk drawer and reorganized the messes you have there? These activities are not big calorie consumers. They don't get done because we are mentally lazy, or perhaps numb is a better word. I have seen many people over the years try myriad time management systems. I think scheduling resources, calendars, and so forth are a personal selection choice. I also think changing systems on a rapid turnover basis indicates not a fault with the systems, but some disconnect in the gray matter between our ears. So stamp out human laziness, starting with your own. Take a walk at lunchtime. Walk upstairs. Don't take elevators. Getting the blood flowing through physical exercise will get the mental game back in shape, too. Moving that mouse across the desk will seem far less of a formidable task. And how many accidents are caused by laziness? You will find that many contain some aspect of it. Stamping out laziness will help your safety record. Be safe, and we will talk next week. Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2017, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Did you say Hairmaster?
No, you dimwit. Airmaster.
Caremaster?
No, Airmaster.
Daremaster?
Clean your ears out. I said Airmaster.
Stairmaster?
Oops, don't try that one. It's probably trademarked by someone else. Airmaster, Airmaster, Airmaster.
Ha ha, got you on that one. I said Stairmaster. S-T-A-R-E. Master. Tearmaster?
I'm going to tear you. Airmaster!
Oh, I get it. Airmaster.
Yes. Airmaster.
But what do they do?
Airmaster Aerator. The patented aerator that makes a difference. More than an aerator, a complete waste treatment system. Airmaster Aerator.
This column was written by Jim Thompson. I'm Chuck Swan, reading it for Jim. The title of the column is, How Would You Change Things If You Could? And here's what Jim has to say. Over the years, I've heard many conversations start with, If I were in charge of this place. If you were in charge, what would you change? And why would you change it? How would you accomplish the changes? And when would you change it? Let's take things one at a time. What would you change? Procedures, communications, methodologies, policies? More interesting than what, however, is why. I hope it would be to spend the invoice printer more efficiently, but there are many subtle actions required to spin your already well-oiled invoice printer. You may decide that policies need to be implemented to increase or decrease employee turnover, all directed toward the objective of more efficient invoice printer spinning, of course. The wrong answer to why certainly is self-aggrandizement. How would you accomplish the change? That's also a challenge. Would you be a bull in the china shop or would you wear velvet gloves? Your personal preference for style is not as important as what the circumstances require. As a manager, one is often called on to be an actor, not to let one's own emotions show, but use the emotions appropriate to accomplishing the task. When would you change things? You have to wait long enough to make sure you're going in the right direction, but not too long. It's a commonly accepted proposition that once you have been in charge of something for a year, you own it.
And now let's pause a moment for this message.
There is a capital project in your future. You have spent many dollars on planning and ordering equipment for your capital project, and you're about to spend much more on its installation and startup. And you could perhaps spend a little less and move a little more efficiently by forming a team with Pro Services, both in planning and executing your project. The experienced team of Pro Services pulp and paper engineers and project managers will work with your team months in advance to find and solve potential problems, plan for the utmost in safety precautions, analyze your financials, and chart the best path for an orderly installation and an ultimately successful startup. Your know-how, plus our know-how, will get your capital project up and running as quickly and efficiently as possible. Together, we'll be a powerful capital project team. Call us at 269-327-2322. Visit us at prosatwork.com. At Pro Services, we work.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the conclusion of this week's column.
But now for the really big question. What keeps you from changing things now? It may be that your current boss or current conditions are your excuses. In fact, if you have really good ideas that you can express succinctly to the powers that be, you should be able to implement them right now. Further, if you're one of the really brave, you will go ahead and implement, asking forgiveness later. It could be that for internal political reasons, you can't approach your boss with your good ideas. It may be that the environment is such that you will be shut down. In this case, you have an even harder question to answer. Why am I staying around here? Be honest with yourself. Many answers may be acceptable. You simply need to determine what is real and what is myth. It is time to stop fooling yourself. So what happens if you are in charge? The answer is you are in charge. Right now, right where you are. If the climate and culture are such that you cannot implement good ideas, then take charge of your own career and go where you can. If the climate will not tolerate change, then make your moves starting today. You owe nothing less to your employer or yourself. Of course, fooling yourself about safety is no joke. One needs to be vigilant all the time, and one owes oneself the best safety attitude possible. Be safe, and we will talk next week. NIP Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2017, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Are you facing a complex installation, expansion, greenfield project, or maintenance project? Make the smart choice. C.R. Meyer, a nationwide industrial general contractor, specializes in the pulp and paper industry. Our skilled millwrights, pipe fitters, iron workers, boiler makers, carpenters, laborers, cement finishers, operators, and a team of experienced project managers, architects, and engineers are safe, effective, and efficient on any project, planned or unplanned. Take the smart step toward getting your next project finished safely and done well. Contact C.R. Meyer at crmeyer.com.
This column was written by Jim Thompson, and I'm Chuck Swan reading it for Jim. The title of the column is The Problem of Scattered Assets, Some New, Some Old. And here's what Jim has to say about the subject. One of the joys of my career has been opportunities to wander through many different pulp and paper mills and see the many alternative approaches people have taken to solving essentially the same problems. As a matter of integrity and reputation, however, I have to be careful about discussing what I have seen, for I have seldom found anyone anxious to have their good or bad problem solutions broadcast to the world. So, being mindful not to betray any trusts, I want to discuss carefully something I have seen and found disturbing, while being discreet about it. Over the years, I've had the privilege in the course of my daily business to visit a number of major mill sites which were once part of one large pulp and paper company. These sites are widely scattered geographically, and none of the sites of which I speak has remained with the company that acquired the former, now defunct, company. With all that lengthy preamble, let me get to the point. Each of these sites has a remarkable and identical set of characteristics. Most of the plant and equipment is in fairly poor condition, with the exception of one unit operations area, which is bright, shiny, new, and these days often shut down. Let me be clear. The bright, shiny, new areas at each of these sites are not the same. On one side, it may be a boiler, on another, a beach plant, but the pattern is the same. It is just weird to see this pattern across so many mills.
And now let's pause a moment for this message.
Well, it's time to start planning our annual recovery boiler outage again.
Yes, it is. Budgets are tighter than ever, even though business is good. And speaking of good business, sales is pressuring us to have as short an outage as possible. They need the production.
Well, getting in a hurry costs money and can lead to safety problems.
I know, and you know we are always under pressure for our safety record, too. It seems like corporate has nothing better to do than to keep pushing us on every front.
I think I have a solution to all of these problems.
What's that?
RMR Mechanical. They've done a great work for us in the past and have a great safety record, too. They almost always beat the schedule.
Sounds like this meeting is over.
RMR Mechanical. The only name you need to know for an economical, quick, and safe boiler outage. Phone 770-205-9646 or visit us on the web at rmrmechanical.com.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the conclusion of this week's column.
Now, in general, it is not my purpose here to criticize the management of operations, financial and technical, that made such an unusual set of decisions. After all, it is one thing to make decisions on the run versus having the advantage of hindsight, and I want to credit them with that handicap. There is an observation and learning here beyond the obviously easy criticism, though. And the observation is this. If all these new unit ops had been built on one carefully selected site, they would today compose one nearly brand new in paper mill years, fully integrated pulp and paper mill. As it stands, they're scattered among a myriad of sites that are barely competitive. One invoice printer could be spinning quite efficiently, instead of a number of invoice printers barely sputtering. Something in the culture and decision-making process of the defunct company prevented this from being seen at the time of these capital expenditures. From a wealth destruction point of view, the fine components are worth but a tiny fraction of what they would have been worth if they had been agglomerated on one attractive site. The whole situation, taken from the perspective of today, is obviously such a waste. There is a lesson here for all of us, an opportunity for a critical self-examination of how large decisions are made. For safety this week, I would urge you to review the safety records of your department for the past 3 or 4 years. Do you see any patterns that have not been addressed? Fix them now, please. Be safe, and we will talk next week. Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2017, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Companies all over North America think of Fulton Systems for their thermocompressor and steam systems needs, all the way from initial design to startup to troubleshooting. For more than 90 years, Fulton Systems has helped companies keep thousands of thermocompressors operating smoothly and assisted mills with hundreds of paper machine rebuilds. Turn to Fulton Systems for steam and condensate system design, dryer suction performance audits, and consulting services on all aspects of dryer suction and condensate systems management and operations. Call us at 770-447-1400. Visit our website at fultonsystems.com. This column is about table talk. It was written by Jim Thompson. I'm Chuck Swan, reading it for Jim, and here's what Jim has to say. No matter how much formal education you have acquired, there is one forum that stands out above others in importance. It is one in which you participate first as a receiver and then later, if you have children, as a provider. It is the forum of the family dinner table. Many lessons can be heard around the dinner table, where children are hearing adults talking about the day and then participating as they get older. Children's opinions of the outside world are formed here, as well as their perspective on many matters, from life to relationships to work. For someone aspiring to a career in management, sitting around a dinner table where one or both of the parents were managers provided a 10 to 15 year career head start over those that have been reared in another environment. Of course, it is important to say quickly that a career in management, especially senior management, is not the be-all and end-all to life. Many people have very satisfying careers without being in such managerial positions. Yet it is important to note that the dinner table provides many clues about life's experiences, good and bad. One of the things I remember as a child was my dad lamenting that in his department, and he was the foreman, the correct term in those days, over a division in a manufacturing company. He could get little capital for new equipment. He always got everyone else's cast-offs, which he then rebuilt to work at the task at hand. He saw this as a condemnation by upper management, and at the time I did too. Tonal inflection, that is, whining, is a strong key to forming management opinions in five-year-olds. Yet in my own career, reflecting back on these conversations, it appears to me that what my father really received from his superiors was a compliment of the highest order. He could meet production requirements with less capital than anyone else in the company. Talk about job security. The important thing to note here is that it took decades for me to come to this conclusion and reverse the opinions formed at the family dinners when I was 5 years old. And herein lies the double-edged lesson for you. You undoubtedly make decisions daily, perhaps subconsciously, based on the lessons you learned as a child at your family dinner table. Can you think hard about these and discern what they are as you go about your daily tasks? Can you discern which of these lessons are helping you and which are destructive? If you can, you will be a better person for it, regardless of your career aspirations. And then the other edge. What lessons are you conveying to your offspring? What are they learning from you at your dinner table that will affect them positively or negatively for their whole adult lives? Are you careful about the lessons you teach through casual conversation? Do you treat this forum with the respect it deserves? You are building your children's character one spoonful of beans at a time. Safety lessons are learned the same way. If there is a safety incident at work, do not be reticent about sharing it with your children, especially the learnings from it. Of course, some incidents can be too graphic for tender young years, but you can tone these down and still get the message across. Be safe, and we will talk next week.
NIP Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2017, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Did you say Hairmaster?
No, you dimwit. Airmaster.
Caremaster?
No, Airmaster.
Daremaster?
Clean your ears out. I said Airmaster.
Stairmaster?
Oops, don't try that one. It's probably trademarked by someone else. Airmaster.
Ha ha, got you on that one. I said Stairmaster. S-T-A-R-E, master. Tearmaster?
I'm going to tear you. Airmaster!
Oh, I get it. Airmaster.
Yes, Airmaster.
But what do they do?
Airmaster Aerator, the patented aerator that makes a difference. More than an aerator, a complete waste treatment system. Airmaster Aerator.
This column was written by Jim Thompson. I'm Chuck Swan reading it for Jim. And here's what Jim has to say about his feelings about feelings. A person starting a career is a bit of an open book. Such people may have had some work experiences, maybe even some military experience. But in general, their expectations about the work environment are recognized even by them as just that, expectations that may or may not become reality. It amuses me, for instance, to hear some of the ideas soon-to-be college graduates have about work. One told me something to the effect that once she started to work, she saw excitement in life as being over. You go to work each day, do the same things each day, and 40 years later, you retire. Sadly, I have actually met people who have done exactly this. What I am getting at here, though, is something more subtle. It seems to me that earlier in my career, I expected my attitudes not to change as I got older. This happens because as we enter our careers, we are thrown into the work environment with people of at least two generations. One may start to work as a 20-something alongside 40-somethings, 50-somethings, 60-somethings, and perhaps even some in their 70s. One starts to share experiences with these people and unconsciously makes assumptions that because of many shared experiences on a daily basis, our co-workers of different ages have similar attitudes about life, work, and so forth. Stating the obvious, this is wrong. Co-workers of different ages have different views based on the phases of life they are in outside the work environment. Simply put, young people are focused on establishing their own independent lifestyles. Middle-aged people are focused perhaps on children and aging parents. And older workers are focused on their own health issues and pending retirement. All of this seems obvious in the abstract. It is in the application to our own individual lives and personal attitudes that it falls apart. And it manifests itself in the following way. When we reach, say, the mid-50s, we think our industry, our world, indeed everything we touch has deteriorated greatly from our experiences earlier in our careers. The company we work for is falling apart, our industry is falling apart, and so forth. This is not necessarily true. Rather, it is our attitudes and perceptions that have changed. For instance, today we think the industry is falling apart, especially here in North America, and to a certain extent we can cite statistics, locked gates, and bulldozed plants that bear witness to this idea. However, destruction of the obsolete has been going on as long as there has been an industrial revolution. Ask the old-timers in Mechanicsville, New York, what happened to the pulp and paper industry, and they will tell you it died with the departure of the West Virginia Pulp and Paper Company in the 1960s. Ask the people of Portsmouth, Ohio, about the steel industry, and they will tell you it died in the 1950s. These things have been going on from before our times and will be going on long after we are gone. The events of today are dramatic and life-changing to us simply because they are happening to us and destroying our earlier memories. In a big-picture context, they are nothing new, and the sooner we realize that, the sooner we can quit dwelling on them and deal with the realities of today. Simply put, we do not live in special or extraordinary times. We just happen to live in our times. For safety this week, does your facility have defibrillators placed strategically throughout? They are life-saving devices. Be safe, and we will talk next week. NIP Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2017. Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.